Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Matson, your host and the editor of Self-Build Magazine.
It's Renewables Heating and Ventilation Month here at Self-Build, and we're delighted to be joined by Gavin Miller of BPC Ventilation. He's going to chat about heat recovery ventilation, heat pumps, and underfloor heating. So, Gavin, maybe the first thing is to just talk about whether all this new technology really is worth all the hype. Why are heat pumps and MVHR more efficient than traditional systems?
Well, I'll start off with the MVHR. MVHR is a system whereby we ventilate and at the same time retain heat within the property. MVHR is basically splitting a home up into wet and dry rooms, not ground and first floor, but simply wet and dry rooms. So wet rooms are things like bathrooms, kitchens, ensuite, utility rooms, and the dry rooms are going to be the bedrooms, lounge, TV room, dining room, whatever you have. And what we want to do with MVHR is extract warm, moist air that you don't want in the house because that creates condensation and mold and what have you, and move that air outside. But as we're moving that air outside in equal volume, we've got to move fresh air back in to replenish it. And we put all the air through a thing called a heat exchanger within the MVHR unit. And with that, we can claw back roughly about 90 to 95% of the heat by exchanging the heat from the outgoing airstream and swapping it over to the incoming airstream. So if the house is set for, say, 20 degrees, we can claw back roughly 18 degrees. So preheated 18 degree air gets effectively pumped into the bedrooms, lounge, dining room, that type of thing. So from a point of view of being able to save an awful lot of money on an annual basis with this type of device, it's pounds in the bank. You're roughly going to take a third of your heating bill if you're on gas, or 25% off your electricity costs if you're using a heat pump, mainly because the boilers on gas are not working so hard and the heat pump's not consuming so much electricity to function. So MVHR is a winner all the way around, and it's really come to the fore in recent times thanks to NZ, that's nearly zero energy building strategy, which has been sweeping its way through Europe. We now have it in legislation in Northern Ireland, it's been in Southern Ireland for the past couple of years. And that's a means of looking at way of reducing costs, heating costs, energy costs, basically within buildings. So MVHR ticks the boxes there, and at the same time, gives you a good ventilation strategy for a property that you need. Just on that, it was interesting that a guy called Chris Whitty, Chief Medical Officer for the UK, published a report December of last year, Basically, you said it's time to put our head around indoor ventilation and get it right, because an awful lot of people queuing up at China A&E at the moment with respiratory issues that are clogging up the A&E. That could be avoided if they have good quality of air inside their homes. Also, it doesn't help with people with Alzheimer's, and it can bring about strokes and that type of thing. Good report. It's 186 pages. And yes, I was in the anorak and read the damn thing, but it was a good read at the end of the day, and it came down in favour, heavily in favour of MVHR systems as being a way to help people in their own homes. Heat pumps, you want me to talk about that?
But just to stay on MVHR, are there alternatives? Because it is a bit of the Rolls Royce, isn't it? It's like the top end of ventilation. There are other ways of keeping good indoor air quality, aren't there? I mean, does it have to be?
There are other other means of ventilating. You know, you can go back to the older PIV, positive input ventilation, which is basically a device that you threw up in the roof space and it pulled air from the roof space through a grill in the top of the hall stairs and landing, and effectively passed air down through the staircase. And it's working on the basis that it basically pumped air into the home, and the air left by trickle vents or air bricks around the home. Then you see those in older properties. Not really suited to the new type property, because you can't move the same sort of volume you need because of the way the regs have gone. And the type of volume that you need to move around a home. The air change ratios have gone up in legislation quite recently, about 2 years ago in the south of Ireland and north of Ireland, about halfway through last year, and the same applied to England, Scotland, and Wales. So the government and building control officers, effectively, when you're designing a home, you're going to see a lot more air than ever changed over in a home in a given hour. And PIV, while still a good system, is struggling to achieve that. We see them being fitted to retrospectively to older homes that have developed a problem with condensation and mold. And yes, they are good enough to move air and potentially alleviate that problem. But as a means of ventilating a new home or a refurbished home, no, I wouldn't be that keen on, but we do sell quite a few of them. Amazingly, we still do. Other ways we see now of ventilating homes, we're seeing a lot of people using passive ventilation. That's effectively whereby you have a quarter hole in a wall, you've got an outside grill tube, and the inside you've got a device that's got a humidity sensor inside it. It's non-mechanical. The humidity sensor basically reacts, obviously, to humidity, and it operates a little valve that controls flap on the inside part of it. That flap opens and closes and lets air into the home, depending on the amount of humidity in the atmosphere. You then need a mechanical extract system to extract the waste air away. Good enough system, you can move the right volumes of air, except you're not retaining any heat. So yes, if you've got problems in putting ducting into a home, like a retrofit or whatever, that will get grounded, but it won't retain heat the way in the MVHR system. You have to heat up that incoming air. That is the
so you still get the drafts, basically.
Yes, you don't. Well, you're not
gonna, like, is it cold air coming in? If you won't get that big gust of drafty air as you would in old houses, but you still get cold air that can hit.
No, the thing's got a louver panel inside it to stop any drafts coming straight through, but you will feel the cold air coming in from outside because there's no mechanism within it to retain heat. If you go onto our website, you can actually see the thing, and it'll explain these in a diagram that's on the website, how the thing functions. There's another device that's quite similar to that, which is effectively a mini MVHR, which you can put inside a larger room. And what it does is a thing called a Zephyr, made by a company called BSK. It is basically good at doing what a full-size MVHR can do, but for a single room use. So you've got a large living room, dining room, and you've noticed you're getting a bit of condensation buildup. It can do the same thing. You basically put a hole in the wall, core out a hole, usually about 125, 150 mil from memory. There's a tube goes through it, PVC usually. One side is an outdoor grill, the other side is a vent. And in the middle is a fan and a ceramic pad. It's quite clever. It works on a reciprocating basis. So for 70 seconds, it pulls air away from the room and dumps it outside. But as that air is moving through the device, the ceramic pad retains roughly about 80-85% of the heat, stops its first 70-second cycle, then works the other way, pulls air into the room to top up the air again. And as it's coming, the fresh air is coming in from outside, it's collecting heat that's in the ceramic pad. So you've got, again, preheated air coming into the home. Good little device, works well. We sell those in the hundreds. To be quite honest, we sell a lot of those. Few other devices that you can get, PIV would be number one, passive house would be the second one. MEVs are mechanical extract systems. You can get those in various guises. Another little small one, which we are beginning to see come in, is what we call a DMEV fan. It's a device that can take a place of the conventional fan that's in the bathroom or kitchen or that type of thing. And where it differs from a conventional fan is that this thing's on 24/7. So it uses small, low-powered electric motors, single electric motor inside, it's usually about 9 volt. And it's designed to basically continuously at a trickle speed to remove air from that bathroom. That's doing it the whole time. So it's actually moving air from the bathroom and effectively quite a chunk of the rest of the house, because air flows, even the bathroom door is closed, it'll flow underneath the door. It's because by building control regs, there should be a 10 mil gap usually on the underneath of the door to the finished floor surface. So that's enough to let air percolate through and keep going. So this thing's working all the time at moving air from the bathroom and the surrounding area or surrounding rooms. So if you have one upstairs in the bathroom, one downstairs in the kitchen, or another one in a downstairs loo, you're going to move a fair bit of air. And if you've already got trickle vents in the windows in the home, that'll air in. Ventilation's all about getting air moving into the house in equal amounts. So if you've got 100, 150 litres per second moving into the house, you need that same 100, 150 litres per second moving out of the house to give a balanced airflow. DMEVs are good for older properties where you've got existing fans and you want something maybe a bit easier to run and runs automatically on a 24/7 basis. The real trick up their sleeve is they're running at trickle speed all the time. Somebody steps into the shower in the morning, they have a built-in humidity sensor. So they will sense when the air has got extra moisture in it and will ramp our speed up to overcome that. So as you stop using the shower, the humidity drops, the fan speed drops, and then they go back to their tick-over speed. So they don't cost a huge amount of money to run. They actually cost less than a conventional fan. Yeah, if you put a conventional fan on for once or twice a day, the DMEV will be lesser amounts of money to run. So good idea for a replacement fan. That humidity sensor technique is one that, going back to the large MVHR units, that's one that they will use, that it's built into them nowadays. Again, an MVHR unit working through a whole house ventilation system, once it senses a buildup in humidity, will automatically spring into action, if you want to call it that, and go from its tick-over speed, because they all run 24/7, through to a higher speed to move moisture away. They're quite clever, the larger systems, because they have in their microprocessor, a system where they can recognize natural ambient moisture levels that you would have in the year and can differentiate, and they're intelligent enough to differentiate between summer and winter levels. And then again, as I said, somebody starts cooking in the kitchen or steps into the shower, they'll work that out and raise the fan speed to overcome it and go back down again. And that's the type of ventilation system that, yes, we like to see come into properties, whether they're new or retrofit older properties. MVHR, we've been into properties anything from 17th century on up over the years. So it's not specifically aimed at new. In fact, roughly about a third of what we would do nowadays would be retrofit projects. That's where a classic example would be 60s, 70s built bungalow or house. Somebody's come along and put extra cladding on the walls, that type of thing to insulate it. Huge amount of insulation up in every space, triple glazed systems. And all of a sudden it's discovered they've got no free air moving in or out of the property. Big problem because condensation and mold is one thing, but also the lack of oxygen for people to breathe inside the house is the other more slightly dangerous one. An example of how you notice that, it's not only the condensation building up, but waking up in the morning with a sore head, wondering what's happened. And you haven't been on the drink the night before. So, you know, what has actually happened has been that you've been sleeping in an environment where the air quality has been very poor because there's been no adequate ventilation. So that's something that we're seeing a big development in our market where people are saying, I've got an older house, I'm upgrading it, I'm getting an insulation package together and doing all the right things. How can I sort the ventilation out? Quite straightforward. There's various means of actually doing it. It all depends what we read on a set of drawings as to what system we would recommend.
So then, in terms of a cost scale, let's say on a new build, starting, I presume the cheaper or like most cost effective way to go about it would probably be which one? It was
get yourself through the
passive one.
To get yourself, sorry, you say a passive house?
No, just the passive one, the one you described passive.
With new builds nowadays, building control want to see you put in a ventilation strategy that makes sure you get through part F of the building control regs, which governs the amount of air that's moving in and out of the building. There's a set formula for doing that. So we get a set of drawings. We do some fairly accurate measurements off the drawings and work out the entire volume of air that we're going to shift in and out. And it has to be an equal balance, as I said before. So what goes out is equal what comes in. And that kind of dictates what sort of machine that you need. And 95% of the time, it's the best option is MVHR. That's what it's coming down to. We're seeing a big move towards that coming into both new builds and people who, again, have got a larger retro build project going on and have to involve building control as well. So to satisfy the regulations nowadays, it is coming down to really the best option is to go for an MVHR system. And using, for example, a 75 mil radial ducting package to go along with it, which is fairly straightforward to install, and it basically consists of what we call a manifold system. So you have near where the MVHR unit is a couple of manifolds and then 75 mils ducting running off to each room in turn with a thing called a plenum and then the air valve and underneath the plenum. Straightforward enough to install. Take an average, say, three bedroom semi-air detached. The guys coming out to install it on first fix would be there roughly about 2 days to put the system in, and then they come back for a third day to get the machine up and running, put the air valves in, set all the air valves up for the flows, commission, test and sign off the system. So straightforward enough. Looking at sort of costs involved in that, you can have MVHR units starting for 900 below £1,000 all the way through to £7,000 or £8,000. It really depends on what size of one we need. And ducting packages, again, going from say £800 through to say £3,000 for a decent size one. But to pick an average cost is very hard to do. £3,500, £4,000, something like that.
Okay. And how about the passive system you described, or the Zephyr, or other alternatives for a new build that would comply with the regs? Zephyr was for retrofit, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's a single room unit.
Yeah.
In this case, Zephyr.
So the ones that would be suitable for new builds.
Sorry.
So the alternatives to MVHR that would be regs compliant for a new build.
Yeah.
Those ones, how much less would they cost than an MVHR, percentage-wise, roughly?
Well, the only thing that's going to be hit compliance would be if you had a Zephyr system, a unit in every room, you might get it through. But really, that doesn't work. It's not designed to do that. It's just designed for a single-room application. But if you went for a passive vent system with an MEV, passive vent and an MEV combination, you know, you're about $2,500. So there is a difference in cost, but you have no heat retention. So you've got to work out in your own mind, do I want to be cold and ventilated, or do I want to be warm and ventilated? What's the cost implications in being cold? Well, the cost implications of being cold is quite straightforward. You've got to heat that air up. You know, there's no win-win on that one. That type of system usually suits, believe it or not, the property developer builder, because it's a cheaper option for him to install, because he hasn't paid for the fuel to go into the boiler or the electricity to go for the heat pump thereafter. He's only interested in getting himself through the building control regs to have the house properly ventilated, which it will do. But as I said, it doesn't do anything to help pounds in the pocket when it comes to saving fuel.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And we also got another question there about ventilation systems you'd recommend for an ICF house, which I suppose the building method really is irrelevant to ventilation, isn't it?
Well, again, ICF, you're dealing with someone that's got a lot of thermal mass, a lot of potential to retain heat.
We should probably say what it is, I suppose. Insulating concrete formwork being like a Lego type of insulation casing, and then it's filled with concrete. So it's basically a solid monoblock of a house. Yeah.
ICF houses have been around a while now, and we've done a lot of ICFs. It's a bit of a strange thing. Although we're based in Larne County, Antrim, about 75% of what we do is across the water, England, Scotland, Wales. And we have a couple of companies that we work with who do a lot of ICF projects. So we're well used to it. They all go for MVHR systems at the end of the day. Because the MVHR system, again, because its ability to help manage heat through a property like that, another advantage of MVHR is the fact that when you go into a house that's been ventilated with that system, you have a nice, even disposition of heat all the way through the house. Every room's got some sort of heat in it. And you also are aware of the fresh air ability that it can manage as well. So they lend themselves very well to that type of building. They're excellent for that. That's something that we've.
But it's based on the fact of on the fact that it's energy efficient.
It's
energy efficiency. So what's rich? But the build method itself isn't particularly relevant.
It's the energy efficiency of the build, and the energy efficiency achieved by the MVHR the two go hand in hand in that type of scenario and go hand in hand very well, because the machine's not working overly hard. When you do your calculations, you usually find that you don't need to be working too hard at the heat retention, because the house helps you in that stage of the game. So the machine's not working too hard. That means an MVHR system in a house like that will last a lot of years. Typically, we like to see an MVHR system do 25, 30 years. We're certainly seeing machines nowadays that are that sort of age group, people coming, but the reason why we know that, people are coming back and asking for filters for them and that type of thing. What year was it made? And from that then you can get the filter to match. So that's a good scenario for ICF, it's a VHR.
Yeah. So there's another one. Should settings on ventilation systems be adjusted according to the outside temperature? Summer, sorry, winter.
The machine itself, I said earlier that type of MVHR unit's got a microprocessor. Within that factory programming is such that it has presets for the amount of moisture that's in both average summer and average winter conditions. So within our part of the world, there's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere to start with permanently between summer and winter. Not so much down the south coast of England, for example, where you can get plus 30 degrees and stuff like this and damn near drought conditions at times. But the machines are sensitive enough with the sensors that they have on board to realize that and work out what sort of fan speeds they need to draw out enough moisture within the home. In so many ways, the machines actually act as, if you like, as dehumidifiers. They basically reduce, if need be, the level of moisture in the home down to a preset threshold level, which is what you want to see. At the same time, their gear deficiency, that will not dry the house out, that you don't have that feeling in your throat of that the air is too dry. You want a level of air that's comfortable to breathe, and that's what they're programmed to do by doing that. They've got various probes of they will work out the incoming air temperature, the outgoing air temperature, and humidity going through at given levels as well. So they can bring all the information together and then come up with what fan speed, what way they need to be operating to do that.
Okay. And noise, what about noise units being a bit noisy?
Is another good one, because there was a thing about noise from years ago. I'm actually just looking for a little bit of information, because I think Passive House was the one that you mentioned earlier. An average machine has to in fact, all machines nowadays have got to comply with the legislation. That means that they can't be any more, they're between 30 and 35 decibels. He says, doing this from memory. 30 and 35 decibels is all they're permitted to do in the way of producing the way of noise. And that's whisper quiet at the end of the day. They used to be some of the machines, some of circa like 10, 15, 20 years ago, the fans were a bit on the noisy side. Yeah, but fan technology has moved forward quite a bit. That we have the blades on the fans designed in such a way as to minimize noise. Also, the systems minimize noise at the same time. We use, as I said, radial ducting systems. That means that there's no crosstalk. It's not like an older branch system where you had the one continuous ducting going from the machine on the supply side all the way around all the rooms that were being supplied there, and another continuous piece of ducting that's going all the way around the home to extract air. With that type of branch system, you could have been sitting in the living room watching television and somebody upstairs in the bedroom listening to the television, because the sound was transmitted through a continual piece of ducting. With individual 75 mil radial ducting. It's one individual piece of ducting goes from a manifold to a given room, and that's the only place it goes. So there's no chance of noise being transmitted room to room. And then with the machines being very quiet, that also helps. We also, as a belt and brace, when I assist and we do, we normally put a set of silencers to the machine. They go from the manifold boxes back to the machine itself. They're what we call a flexible silencer. They're cheap enough. They're only about 15 quid on average each. And what they do is effectively kill any sound whatsoever that's produced by the machines, if there is anything. Sometimes when the machine goes up a higher speed from tick over to a higher boost speed, you may get momentarily a little bit of fan noise as there's an increase of air velocity going through the fan. So that takes care of that. But in general, you'll not hear that system. You'll not hear it. A well-designed MVHR system, and that's what we do in here. And to give you an idea of how many times we do this, an average month, because we service all the British Isles, we would do somewhere between 800 and 1,000 quotations per month. So that's 800 to 1,000 designs per month, put it that way. So a good old percentage of that actually goes out as finished orders. So if you've got something that's going right, you know about it, or you don't know whether you know about it, but if there's something going wrong and noise is an issue, then you would know about it quicker. But what I'm trying to say is that with a properly designed system, you'll not hear it, and you'll not have any sensation of air. If you're 2 o'clock in the morning, you're in bed, and you've got a supply vent somewhere in the bedroom, you'll not be hit in the face with, where's that draft coming with from? It's simple as that. You want to minimize and all the systems kill off any noise and kill off any chance of a stray draft coming from the system as well. Hope that answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in terms of those elements that increase cost, we were chatting a bit earlier there about what elements in a home in the design when you look at a set of plans, what makes it more expensive for an MVHR system?
What elements I need to see in drawings? Yeah. Well, somebody sends in a set of drawings. What I'm looking for are possible not only floor drawings, floor plans. But if I can get sections and elevations, more so than ever, they give me then a complete picture of what the home looks like. I can do a complete set of calculations. I can then calculate and factor in things like, for example, vaulted ceilings, that type of thing, where you've got an extra air mass to take care of, and various other factors that would give us the full picture when we're running ducting from point A to point B, where to put the unit, where is the optimal place to place that. And the optimal place to put the ducting system through the house. And also in the drawings, we usually can figure out whether the building's going to be built, for example, a concrete slab going into it, or whether it's open web joists, or what other design features that impact on what we do. So it's quite important. Once we have the drawings, then we can put a quotation together with a design. Also, the drawings allow our CAD team to do something as well. We produce for whoever's going to install it, and hopefully it's a probably approved NICIAC or City and Guilds installer. A installation drawing that lets them see where we want the components, the air valves and the units and the manifolds, etc. to go. That makes life fairly simple for them on site. We also produce a set of airflows, so when he's commissioning the system with his airflow meter, he knows what each individual valve should be doing, the way of liters per second of air coming in or out, depending on the type of valve.
Okay, very good. So we'll move on to heat pumps then, and just why they're better than traditional systems, if they're worth the money as well. Same question.
You're going to say, Gavin, you're going to be biased by saying yes. I'm going to say that, yes, I am biased. Not because I'm selling them, but because I like the technology. I like the fact that for every one unit of energy you put in, you can get 4 or 5 units of energy back out again. Now, coming from this part of the world, we're large, we're kind of close to Ballymena, so being tight, I think, is part of the DNA. So we like that type of number. You can't get that with an oil or gas system. With the best you're going to get there is one unit of energy in and one unit out. So heat pumps really do give you a terrific advantage when it comes to heating your home by using the energy that's in the air, physically using the energy in the air. That's the heat that's in the air. Even if you're down to -5, you'll still have a percentage of heat in that air, even though you're standing outside with about 3 overcoats on going, it's cold, or what's that effect? You've still got a degree of heat that you can clob off that and utilize through a heat pump. Heat pump is basically a fridge that works in reverse. That's the best way to describe it. It's basically using refrigerant and extracting the heat from the air and heating up water in layman's terms. That water then goes to 2 elements within the home. 1, underfloor heating or radiators, and 2, hot water for baths or showers or in the sink. That type of idea. But it's the fact from sheer financial implication that when you're looking at something that gives you that ratio of 1 to 4 or 5 units of energy, which is why if you take a look around Europe, countries, whole countries are going wholesale for heat pumps. If I take West Germany, they, through a number of manufacturers, have ordered something like 3 million heat pumps for a 6-year term, simply because they got well hacked off with their problems when it came to getting gas from Russia. And that influenced them to say, right guys, enough of that, we're going for it. The biggest user of heat pumps per capita at this moment in time in Europe is actually Norway. Norway, even though they have abundant gas and oil, have gone for heat pumps like it's going out of style, and have been for years, way before Ukraine came up. Mainly because they have a very good electrical grid system that's updated, maybe like a 3-phase system, so that you can have your heat pump, you can have your EV charger, that type of thing, and everything else electrical that you're going to need in a modern home.
But when you say still, I mean, there is the argument that heat pumps are a bit expensive compared to a boiler.
They're not cheap. I'm going to say that.
What you'd save over the lifetime of the heat pump, would that not be the same as going for a boiler and a few solar panels and comply with the regs that way?
Yeah, I mean, solar panels, I'll take a point. An average boiler, 10, 15 years lifespan. Heat pumps, we know from the fact that they've been out long enough, you're getting 25. You know, so they're going to last longer. They're better engineered. That's to go wrong with them in so many ways as well. So that's part of it. The second thing is really the clawback on your energy costs. It's as simple as that. There's no comparison to fossil fuel heating systems, really, when you use it compared to a heat pump. Heat pumps are not just the domain of new builds, by the way. A huge percentage are getting fitted now into retros, getting fitted into older properties. They are quite suitable for that. You have to use what we call a high-temperature heat pump, one that's been geared in such a way that it can deal with older-style radiators, that type of thing, and higher temperatures go through those older radiators compared to newer ones. The costs, if I look at it this way, a heat pump, 3.5-4 grand, tank maybe 2 grand as a minimum, and then from there on up to say 10-12 grand. So that's a lot more than a boiler, no doubt about it. But over the lifespan of what the boiler would be, 10-15 years, and the amount of oil or gas you use, there's no comparison. Now, electricity costs, yeah, okay, have gone up, and a lot of people are going, hey, come on, big fella, you're going to be joking. Have you seen my bill for electricity recently? Yeah, that is going to come a degree of full circle, because if you look at Northern Ireland, and we're daily generating 50% of renewable electricity, well, sooner or later, that's going to impact on our overall costing, where electricity prices should stabilize, and fossils are going to go maybe up and above. I'm not an economist. I can't actually predict that, but that's the sort of feeling that we're beginning to get. I would go for heat pumps.
Yeah. It's a transitional period, I suppose, isn't it?
It's a transitional it is very much that. That's a good way of phrasing it.
So the one question was about a 1950s home switching from oil heating to air to water. So you were talking about the high temperature heat pumps, but there are minimum requirements in the home, isn't there,
for the house to perform? Yeah, with older properties being upgraded, it really revolves around things like your air tightness, what levels of insulation you've put in, that type of thing, to make sure the property is suitable for that type of upgrade with a heat pump. Again, the only way I can qualify or quantify that is by looking at a set of drawings and read off what you're intending to do with that home. But we have done homes of that age and even older. I recently did one 3 weeks ago, I think it was 1920s built originally, but it's had decent upgrades in terms of its insulation, in terms of its air tightness, that type of idea. They brought the floor up and they put an underfloor central heating system in, and the heat pump is going to be the thing, and it's just a heat pump that's been oriented and designed to work with older properties.
Other question was, can I use a heat pump to heat two buildings? One building's 200 square meters, another one is 85 square meters. So in the idea, just the concept of having, let's say, a granny flat or something like that, where you have...
That's a good one.
Is it possible?
The two buildings, and I'm sort of going, yeah. Okay, in theory, if the buildings are adjoining, it should be possible to get one to do both. It's one whereby I would need to see drawings, to get my head around what I'm actually looking at before I can say definitively, yes, it can be done. It is possible. I can understand that, because from a commercial heat pump point of view, where you have industrial heat pumps that are heating a complex that maybe got something similar. So if you scale it back down to domestic, it should be possible. But it is the caveat, let me see what I'm looking at before I can give you the definitive on that.
Yeah. But yeah, in theory, obviously, it depends on the size of, what the heat demand and all that is, I suppose. Yeah. So underfloor heating then, mixing underfloor and radiators, the perennial question, is that, does that work? Can you have both?
Yes, it can do. You can actually work underfloor and radiators in tandem, in parallel. And again, using your heat pump is a very good way of doing that.
So then is it optimal, though, to use underfloor with a heat pump?
In real terms, it doesn't really matter what your heat source is. You can run it off oil, gas, boilers, that type of thing. But the best that we've seen so far for, again, running costs has definitely been a heat pump.
Yeah. So in terms of cost for underfloor, then comparing with rads, I presume radiators oftentimes have to be, isn't it better if you have kind of the... low-heat radiators, the aluminium, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You're going the right way. Underfloor heating, again, I like it because when you have it in the house, you're walking through the house just with your socks on type of thing, or even bare feet, you can feel that lovely heat coming up through. And it gives you that even spread of heat from ground floor going through the ceiling, if you like, which is nice. That radiators can't really do that, because radiators are really going to try and throw the heat out in an arc from where they're placed on the wall, and they do very well heating the wall up as well. But underfloor heating basically heats that surface area as one large radiator, if you want to put it that way, and reflects the heat upwards, which is a far better approach to heating. I much prefer that. Again, you can put underfloor into new or older properties. It doesn't really matter. It's just how it's done and executed when it's installed. And again, I'm going to be biased and say I prefer an option with heat pumps. mainly because I like the integration of the two pieces of technology into each other and how they work in balance.
Yeah, but the underfloor is a bit dear, isn't it? I know I keep harping about costs. It's the questions we get in, I can't help it.
You're 50, 60 pound a square meter, that type of thing.
Okay, all right. So, and radiators?
Radiators can be a bit cheaper, but it's one of those. It all depends on the standard radiator you go. You know, if you go for some of the mock cast iron Victorian style radiators, you're going to pay for those. Lovely looking things, don't get me wrong. Absolutely beautiful. But it all depends what you want and what your thoughts are and you know, how much you are into if the quality of what you want within your home.
Yeah, as always, you pay for the extra quality. Okie dokes. Thanks a million, Gavin. Take care.
Okay, all the best. Bye, folks.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Self-Build Plus journey, which is your step-by-step guide to self-building and home improving. Your membership also gives you first access to all videos and podcasts, as well as access to our members-only Facebook group, which features regular Facebook Live events.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.